heard him speak this to me. He said, strong under pressure. And so that's the title of the message tonight, is strong under pressure. So I started just looking to the Lord and, you know, to see what direction, because there's many, I can preach. I got whole footnotes and things full, but what is the Holy Spirit speaking? And that's what he's speaking. But I thought about the scripture, Beth, if you'll put it up there, Psalms 34:19. You may not have got that when it was, you did. But I want us to look at this. It says, that's the Amplified. Give me the King James Version. I like the Amplified, but it throws me off a little. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. And so when I read that scripture, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Now, that don't mean that trouble's going to go away necessarily. That don't mean that mountains are not going to come against you at times necessarily. But that means that He'll give us the ability. He delivers us from all. But I looked up the word affliction. It says evil, adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasure, distress, grief, mischief, misery, trouble. And I thought, man, there's a lot in affliction. You know, and I would go to church back. I evangelized 7 years before I started pastoring. And most of the churches that the Lord would open the door for me to go preach, most of them, not all of them, but they would get in agreement with many of the afflictions of the righteous. I didn't really know that the rest of that, because when I would go to church, they would get hung up on many are the afflictions of the righteous. And they'd, yeah, amen, amen. And then a lot of them begin to testify how this and that and the enemy and all of that stuff, glorifying the enemy to me. You know, and I'm sitting there, and after about a year of that, I opened my Bible and I looked at it, and it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I thought, but glory to God, I'm going to agree with the last part of that. Hallelujah. You don't get in agreement with all the affliction, yielding. See, God wants us strong under pressure. Having trouble in the family, stay strong. Don't yield to it. Don't yield to it. Don't yield to the afflictions. Don't give in to the calamity. Don't give in to the financial distress. Don't give in to your mom and daddy and them's Buddhist. Right? Many are the afflictions of the right. Don't give in because the economy, because inflation's high and you don't have it. Don't give in and despair over this stuff, because you know what? God can make up for things. I mean, He can just move His hand, and I mean, He can triple bless you for what trouble you've been in. It says many are the afflictions. I want to read it again. Evil, adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasure, distress, grief, mischief, misery, trouble. I mean, you can see it all around, you know, but see, God has anointed us. We are the anointed of God. We're called out for such a time as this. You know, the Lord told me one time, you know, I thought, you know, I just need to move out of Blount County because people knew me and they would never come hear me preach, blah, blah, blah. All of that stuff at 27 years old, you know, And God spoke to me one time. He said, I told Isaac to sow in that land. Don't go down to Egypt. Don't run. Don't go nowhere. Praise God. He said, you stand still, and that's scriptures. He said, stand still and see the salvation of God. And so I thought, glory to God, that's going to be even greater. God's going to raise me up right here. But you know, the scripture says, let your light so shine. Well, one of the ways He does that in our lives is not necessarily us finding a different place or whatever. It's standing still and not yielding the wrong way in the pressure that we're under and not yielding the wrong way. And that brings glory to God. People see it, whether you think they see it or not. You know, and it brings glory to God because they know that we are Christians. You know, and I praise God for your brother getting born again. Hallelujah. That gives me hope. That gives me joy. That gives me a reason to go forth and preach the gospel. Because a lot of times we don't necessarily see no quick results, but we got to be enduring Christians. We got to have endurance. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit of God. He said, after that you have done the will, you have need of endurance, patience. So until you see the will of God, you'll receive the promises of God. You know, Pastor Brad, one time, I guess it's been, I don't know, we've been here 22 years, so I imagine it's 25 years ago or whatever, you know. He said, he made this statement during a sermon, you know. And I, at that time, I really wanted to quit because I'd come out of the world and, man, and I mean, it seemed like I had it better before I came to Jesus because I didn't really realize spiritual warfare and I didn't realize the enemy and how you would be able to sense him now that you're born again, see. We were spiritually dead. We were serving our father, the devil, so we didn't sense his presence because he was always present with us. But once we get born again, we can sense the enemy. We can sense demonic spirits. We can sense that it's an attack from him and all of that, you know. And so I didn't really know all that. But anyhow, he said, made this statement one night because I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do this Christian thing or not, man, you know. But anyhow, he made this statement. He said, I've saw it. He said, I've saw people give up right before God brings a big breakthrough to their life. He said, never give up. And I thought, glory to God, that's me. That's for me. And so I left out of there, you know, and I had this mentality. Then one deacon, that's why it's important for us to encourage one another. Encourage one another because we do face life out there at work and in our families and, you know, on the job and different things, you know, in our family. We face things, but God wants us strong under pressure. He don't want us, and we can't do it on our own. I mean, we will be crushed by the pressures of this world, jobs and sports and work and time. And, you know, asked somebody here a while back, walked in the store, and I was just being funny. I said, is there anywhere you can buy more time? They said, I don't think you can buy more time. I said, well, if you could, I'd probably try to buy a little bit more. I need more time. But it's not that I need more time, Oni. I need to structure my time. Come on, somebody. We're to manage time, manage our mind. Be strong. You see, your mind will cause you to be weak under pressure. That's why we're to renew our mind with the Word of God. That's not where we can be super spiritual. It's so that we can be God-minded in this troubled world. Just for an example, Romans 8:28. It says, for we know, not that we think, not that it might. He said, for we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God. And we love God. Don't you love God? And those that are called according to His purpose. And I had somebody to tell me one time, they said, well, I'm saved, but I don't know if I'm called according to God's purpose. I said, that was God's purpose. I said, you are God's purpose. I said, what do you think John 3:16 means? For God so loved the world that He gave His own. You are His purpose. Now you can, see, He didn't know that Romans 8:28 was His promise. Then because He didn't know if He was called to the purpose, because He don't know if He's called to preach yet or don't know what He's supposed, that's not got anything to do with it. We're called according to God's purpose. And God wants us strong under pressure. You know, being in the ministry is a lot of weight in this hour. I mean, you've got the church under attack, religion under attack. I mean, you've got demonic spirits that just rose up in the last few years and just pushing things out and pushing it up and trying to get it in the church. We're not going to let it in the church. We're not going to let an anti-Christ spirit in the church. We're not going to be people pleasers. We got to be God pleasers, whether you're in the pulpit or whether you're sitting in the pew. You got to set out to please God. And then everything you do is not going to please people because we're called out from the world. We're called out to be separate. We're called out to be one with Him and walk in that power that we already have. We're not trying to get the power of God. And we're not living our life from a place of trying to get victory. We're living our life from a stance of victory, And we're overcoming darkness. We're overcoming evil. We're overcoming fear. Why? Because we're not yielding to the pressures of this life or the pressures of people or the pressures of the enemy. That's what'll make you strong. And people, I had somebody to tell me one time, they said, if I had faith, Brother Scotty, like you got, I said, are you born again? Yeah, I've given my heart to Jesus. I said, you have the same faith. The Bible says that every man has been given the measure of faith. I said, so you, if you're born again, you got the same faith. This seems stronger in you. I said, no, it's not a stronger faith. I said, I'm developing faith. The Bible says that He will take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So we develop our faith. We stay strong in faith. When I was 6 months old in the Lord, I was reading the Bible. How many knows that's a good thing to do? I was reading the Bible, and it says that Satan was stripped of all power. And I read that, and I thought, stripped of all power? And then I started thinking about that and reading the, and then I read where Jesus said, He said, I give you power over all the powers of darkness. And I thought, man. I've already been. So I told that guy, I said, no. I said, you got to get in the Word. Find out who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, and behold, all things are new. And all things are of God. Now, I realize when we're under pressure, we've got to be clear thinking. We've got to have our mind clear thinking where we don't make wrong choices. Because the enemy is dependent on me and you giving in to pressure and making wrong choices in our marriage, in our business, in our workplace. Every time I get busy, I have these companies that I sub, Mid Travis does. And I mean, when I get busy, Satan controls their mind every time. I know he does. Because I got to have it done now. Got to have it done now. Can't get it done now. I got this and I've done made promises. I'm not going to explain to him about my business and other people that I'm doing. But what I'm saying is I always have to calm my mind down. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. Don't be quick. Don't be in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. He said He give us self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit of God, self-control. We can control. I can control my mind. I can control my mouth. I can control what I think. My mind belongs to me. It don't belong to the devil, and it ain't God's. God gave it to me, and God wants me to renew it with His Word, but not just be spiritually minded, but have it on the inside to where I'm not going to give in to the pressures that surround me and get me in a wrong spirit. Because as long as I stay in a right spirit, I will be strong. You will be strong. Whether you feel strong or you feel weak or all that, the Bible says, let the weak say what? It don't say let the weak go to saying how weak it is, how bad it is, how bad. This guy stood up in church one time. I don't know if you remember it or not on him. But he stood up in church and he said, oh, the church is just going to hell in a handbasket. And I thought, I don't know if this one is or not. Well, immediately Brad stood up and he said, no, the church ain't going to hell in a handbasket. He began to tear that thing down right quick. And I thank God for that because, see, Satan was wanting to get a seed in all of us sitting there that what's the use in going to church? That's wasting your gas. You ain't got but a half a quarter of a tank on Wednesday night and you got to drive all the way to Huntsville up there and on empty. And Teresa was all fired up. That I'm talking about being strong under pressure. I looked at the fuel gauge. It took us a quarter of a tank. We didn't have no money. And we wanted to go to church, especially Teresa's all fired up. And I'm like, well, man, we ain't got the gas. And she said, well, there's something good going to happen tonight. I mean, you ought to be in that expectation all the time. Something good going to happen at church tonight. Well, you know what? Praise God, I went on in there and shut that unbelief off and got me a shower. And I was in the shower and I thought, well, bless God, God said He'd take care of it. Don't the Bible say, Paul, He said, but my God will supply all of your needs. It ain't changed. He ain't changed. He won't change. And we're not going to change. We're going to be like him the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. The culture's not going to change us. Our circumstances are not going to be, not going to determine what we believe. The Bible is what we believe. The Bible, the Word of God is all the evidence me and you need to know that we already have victory. He told Caleb and Joshua, I'm taking you to a promised land. He told a bunch of them. But there's a bunch of them out there started looking at the pressures that was around them. Started looking at life going on, and it's hot and it's cold. We ain't got no water, blah, blah, you know, whatever. They was just living in their life only. That's all they was. But they should have been looking to God and saying, God said he's going to take us out of this prison and put us into a place where there's plenty. There's more than enough. But Caleb and Joshua did. They didn't let go of what God told them. They kept on, and you know what? They were in the midst of millions of people and still kept the faith. They still kept that, and they went in and got what God told them. The rest of them didn't. They did not get to go in, and we're not going to be that. We're just generations on down. But we have a better covenant. See, he's done took us in to the Holy of Holies through Jesus. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And now by the Spirit of God, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But you know what? Pressures of this life, if the enemy tries to jump on them. I'm going to read that again. It says, evil, adversity, affliction, calamity. I mean, things just happen out of the blue. You know, unexpected financial. Your tire blows out. Your kids has been acting up for 3 days. You think they got demon possessed all of a sudden. You got to stay steady. You remember I told you the story back, I don't remember when it was, 2008, 2009 or whenever that big storm come through and it beat in hail storm, beat Coleman all to pieces and come on down and come on down over to my house, you know, and I mean, it started beating my windshields out, and it started, you know, and I'm standing on the porch, and I thought, I can't take watching this. This is destroying everything I've got, you know. So I go in the house and walk through the house, and I look, and water's running in one of the rooms, and I had preached a sermon the Sunday before. That was on a Tuesday, and I preached a sermon just like you. Preached a sermon the Sunday before, and the title of it was Steady in the Storm. And I preached that, and I preached about Jesus when he was down in the hinder part of the ship. Y'all remember it. I'm sure you do. And I'm in there, and I mean, it's just like calamity happened all of a sudden, and it was gripping my heart, and it seemed like that everything that I had believed God for was being took away and ripped away and destroyed. And I'm standing there, and God said, what did you preach Sunday? My next thought, it's not a time for that. Do you ever feel like it's not a time for the Bible? I need some answers. See, that's the flesh man. But the spirit man, see, God, what God was doing, the Holy Spirit spoke that to me. He said, what did you preach Sunday? And I answered him, I said, Lord, steady in the storm. He said, then do it. He said, you do it. See, only the doers gets the calm. I mean, Jesus was a doer. He back there, man, y'all leave me alone. He didn't say that now, but I'm just saying, you know, he probably, what's wrong with y'all? I'm asleep, man. I'm getting some rest. I've been preaching 18 hours here. I've been going for miles and, you know. But he gets up and walks out and he speaks to that storm. And he said, peace be still. Then he turned to the disciples and he chastised them a little bit on him. He asked them, where's your faith? In other words, you know, we can be the same today. We hear the preaching, we read the word and all of that stuff, and then calamity is. But anyhow, I went on and I said, Lord, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry I got to looking at the storm here, God. See, you can't focus on the storm. The storm may be there, and it may be raging, and things in your life that's out of your control, but you can stay in control on the inside. If you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, Isaiah says, those whose minds are stayed on the Lord, I will keep them in perfect peace, whose minds stayed on. It says, because they are trusting in me. I believe we're going to see miracles. The body of Christ, it is going to stand and be strong under pressure. And they will not fold to it. They will not give in to the world. And they will not worship money. And those things are not your deliverer. They help you pay your bills and all that. But that's not your salvation. That's not your deliverance. And that's not your source. It's a means but Satan wants us to go after these things. Our mind focused on making a living. What are we going to do? Jesus taught about it when he, right up before, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He taught about all of that. There, he was saying all of the Gentiles, they worry about this stuff. They go to save their life. They go to so they'll have a good future to, you know, and they go after these things, but they need to go after me. They need to go after the one that can secure their future, that can secure their finances. God, he secures everything. He showed us with the children of Israel. I mean, he brought water out of a rock. They didn't have no water, and they didn't have enough to bring with them. And I imagine the Red Sea was probably salty anyways. I don't know. He didn't want them. He even told the disciples, he said, go into the cities. He said, don't take a purse or two coats, and don't take any money, he said. Why? He was wanting to show them. And then a couple of chapters later, he asked them, he said, did you lack anything? And they said, God, we didn't lack nothing. Well, that's the God that supplies all of our needs today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might be in troubled waters right now. Everything might be turbulence right now, but stand your ground and stay strong. Stay focused on the Lord. I was thinking about it today. I watched a little bit of debate and blah, 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 you know, and all of that stuff. And you know what? It steals my joy. Too much social media steals my joy. Tries to hinder my faith. Tries to hinder my walk. Well, I need to know what's going on. You'll know what's going on right here. See, the pressures of this life will take your eyes off of the Lord. I know I'm not preaching nothing new here. This has been preached for 22 years here, and I heard it at my church, and I heard it every other before I got saved. This ain't no new teaching. This ain't. You can get too familiar with the Word of God to where you become religious and not real. We can't become religious because we know we got to be open. Romans 8:14 says those that are open to the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Those that are open, those that are led, it says. But you look the word led up, it says to be open to. Like me walking in there and God saying, what did you preach? Well, you know what came out of that? Praise God. I mean, I was hearing it all over, everywhere I went. I got the sorriest insurance company, blah, 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 you know, and they're not going to cover enough, and yabba, yabba, yabba. And then it hit Travis's house, and I told the Lord, I was by myself, I said, I'm not looking to the insurance companies, God. I'm not depending on them. I'm not getting in that with this world. And people, even Christians, I was seeing Christians. I told God, I said, I'm turning this over to you. How many knows that's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, casting all your anxieties, all your cares, all your hailstorms, all your house, all your turmoil in your house, right? All your turmoil, all the bad road. The Bible says, I mean, if the road don't look very good ahead of you in the natural, the Bible says in Isaiah, if you'll look to him, he said he'll make the crooked places straight. He'll begin to fix that road for you. That's what he did for me and Teresa, begin to fix that road. He didn't fix really the road, he started fixing us. He started fixing us to where we was looking at the right road, following him, following Jesus, following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? Travis started. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go out there and point this out and point that out to the insurance company. I said, well, you do what you want to. I said, I'm not doing that, son. I said, I'm trusting God. So when the insurance guy got there, see, I made a commitment. I'm not going to put my trust in nothing but God. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And so I told Travis, I said, you do what you want to. I said, I'm not. So when the jester got there, I told him, I said, there's my house, and there, here you go. And I said, here's my number. If you need me, call me. I wasn't going to go show him every shingle and my heat and cooling bent up and make sure he sees everything and all of that. But if I depend on God, favor comes. Favor comes to you. Well, and so I was fixing to leave, and he said, is that your shop too up there? And I said, yeah. I said, but don't worry about it. No, let's walk up there. So we go up there because it really didn't knock no holes in it. It just didn't, you know. And so we walked up there, and he measuring it all, and he said, I'm going to count this lean-to. I said, oh, no, man. I said, I throwed that up there with old rusty tin. I said, I just did that. He said, nope, we're getting a whole footage. I said, well, okay then. I said, hey, my son's house is right out there. He said, yeah, I got him on the list. Well, when it was all said and done, now I'm telling you this, I'm not just telling you my story. I'm telling you what God will do for anybody that will put their trust in Him and not bend and bow, not give in to. And to do that, you got to work on it. I mean, even if you failed, the Bible says the righteous man will fall 7 times, but he gets up. He don't quit. Don't quit. Quitters never win. But winners, the ones that wins, just won't quit. They just won't quit. And so anyway, it was all said and done. But back before that, I was believing God. We'd believe God for new windows, and we'd got them over the years, you know. Just fixing our house up a little time, not borrowing money on it, and we already owed enough. And so anyhow, we got block walls and retaining walls to by faith. I did all of it by faith, praise the Lord. Brought seeds to the house of God just like I learned at my church. Brought seeds to the house of God, didn't tell nobody about it, believing God for it, and he did it. But anyways, we were believing for a metal roof. And I thought, oh man, I didn't want it to come this way. I really didn't want a metal roof to come this way. But anyhow, time it was all said and done, we put a metal roof on our house. I think we give the contractor, we got a price to how much to put it on. I bought the metal and all that, and he told me. And we nearly double paid the contractor. We didn't have to. We had more than enough, is what I'm saying, left over. We had more than enough, and he built us a little pump house and finished it off and put the nice trim around it, told me, get that trim around it. It'll look better, praise God. What I'm saying is, see, the storm could have got me in fear. The storm could have got me not believing God. And I guarantee you, the God, that'll send somebody else full of the devil. I would have drawn that to me. Because I would have been a complainer. How many knows that's what they did in the wilderness? They begin to complain. You know, and the Bible says in Psalm 78, it says they limited the Holy One of it. They limited God. I mean, it says plainly with their unbelief. They limited Him with their unbelief. Put Matthew 11 up there, Beth, please. There's a lot of things in that affliction. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your weary souls. Now, basically, he's talking to Christians right here. I mean, non-Christians. If you study into that, he's preaching to the lost. But how many knows this last part, right? How many knows Christians can experience all of this right here that Jesus already gave us freedom from? When we're going to Him, see, heavy burdens and labor and toil is not of God. I'm going to show you the fruit of the Spirit in a minute, Galatians 5:22. But He says here, He says, take my yoke upon you. Be yoked to me. Learn of me. Learn of me. He said, what did I do? What did I do in the storm? He got up and rebuked it. He was asleep. He wasn't really concerned about the storm. Jesus knew the storm was there. Ain't no way he didn't know the storm was there. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your weary souls. You know, in the battle sometimes, you know, when faith will cause you to be strong and firm. And people can take it the wrong way. And that's fine. That's why I said we can't be people pleasers. We got to be God pleasers. I've had people, you know, concerning finances and all that. I learned how to give my way to the into the blessing. Give, and it shall be given. Jesus said it very plain. I took it to myself, you know, and I made up my mind, bless God, that the blessing of the Lord in Proverbs 10:22 was mine, and it added no sorrow nor turmoil. But I found out sorrow and turmoil is in there in the workplace. But I found out that you've got to manage that. You've got to manage anger. Manage your faith. Keep it. That's called keep the faith. The Bible said, when he said over there in 1 Peter 5:7, he said, casting all your care on the Lord, for he cares for you. He said, be sober-minded, be vigilant, sober-minded, clear thinking. He said, because the adversary is here. Right after he said, cast all these cares, the calamity, the hardship, the kids, the bills, the college, whatever it might, cast it. He said, because your adversary, the devil, is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for somebody to devour. He can't just come devour you. He can't just come devour me. He's looking and seeking for someone to devour. But it says, resist him steadfast in the faith. See, you try to figure faith out, you'll get confused. Faith is the force of God. It is the gift of God. And I can't explain how faith works no more than I can explain put a watermelon seed in the ground and before you know it, there's a watermelon out there. I can't explain how there's a watermelon in that seed. I can't explain faith. I really can't explain good enough to tell you how to get in a bunch of it other than faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word and be doers of the Word and be a student of the Word and be willing to do whatever God tells you to do. It's really simple. He may not be telling you to do what He's telling me to do. He might not be telling you to go where He's telling me to go. But whatever the Lord is speaking to your life and convincing you of and convicting you of, that's what we yield to. Right? Hallelujah. And then we stay in. Put the Galatians 5 up there, Beth. You got to cast your care on the Lord. Cast means to roll over on. I didn't know how to do that. I heard the Lord speak to me one time. I ain't going to go into a long story about Teresa, you know. And I was a very jealous and fearful man and different things way back under. And one day, you know, the Lord, He spoke to me. He said, give her to me. And I didn't want to only because I thought He may take her or something. You know, I mean, I didn't know nothing about God. And so I told the Lord, I said, I don't know how to give her to you, Lord. Well, I'd read the scripture where it says He will keep that we commit to Him. Right? You commit your life to Him, He'll keep it. You commit your finances to Him, He'll keep it. Give you a $3 raise. Let them close down. I'm making $3 more an hour, 1 minute and a half further. Didn't want to drive to Birmingham and Huntsville. I don't blame you. I don't like to either. But God lined it up. You would believe in God and you done told me God got it planned out. God already got it worked out. See, that's casting things on Him. Instead of worrying, oh my God, oh, I lost my job, 17 years. I don't know how to... You just sit here and explain. You've been there 17 years. Your company closed down. You probably would have retired there if it had kept going 17 years. Everything that was comfortable was swept away. You know? Well, how many knows that's really our life? God wants us, the only thing that He wants us comfortable in is trusting Him and strong in Him in the power of His. But we're not waiting on the anointing. We have the anointing. Jesus read the scroll and He got up to the synagogue and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, open blinded eyes. And then when I was called to preach, I thought, God, I can't preach. I can't do this. I can't do that. And He said, take the scripture. He said that Jesus took and read before. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on. He said, He's not on you. He's in you. I mean, knows the Bible bears it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Christ is not his last name. He was Jesus of Nazareth. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing in you, in me, in every believer. Then that's why we can do all things. That's why when they wanted Travis to practice on Wednesday night, I loved Wednesday night on him. I threatened to quit my job to go to be able to go to church on Wednesday night. I told my boss, you know. I told him, I said, look, man, I said, I'm saved. I got saved, and bless God, you know, I'm not looking to quit my job, but I'm going to church on Wednesday night. You know, and if I have to choose between them two, well, then I'll have to let my job go because God saved my marriage. He kept me from committing suicide. I mean, those things, you know. He was real to me. And you know what? I went in and my boss said, Sugar, I got somebody on Wednesday. I brought somebody in to load your truck so you can be gone at 5 o'clock. And I said, thank you, sir. And I left out and I said, my God supplies all of my needs. I didn't have to turn down another Wednesday night. Travis signed him up for football practice, praise God. And football, put him in there, tough him up. Only kid, didn't have nobody to claw like they do. You know, he just, only kid, Teresa put him in there and give him 2 Tylenol before he got to the practice where to help his headache, you know. And so anyway, praise God, they called one day and they said, well, we're going to practice on Wednesday night. So Teresa called and said, Travis won't be there on Wednesday night. We go to church. You know what? To our knowledge, they never practiced on Wednesday night again. Somebody just got to stand up, and sports is not more important than God. And today, where's he at leading praise and worship? His kids are sitting on the pew. What if I had not been under the pressures of this world trying to get me to do what I knew God didn't want me to do? Nothing evil about the football. Nothing evil about the coaches. Nothing evil about none of that. It was our commitment and the pressure coming to get us to go against our conviction, our convincing of the Holy Spirit that God had placed us there, that God, and I'm calling out all over the world, the churches, the people that have left from churches and ain't went back, talked to somebody I knew for years the other day, come by the shop and used to be dedicated to church I said, where are you going to church now? I mean, I just say that. Seem like everybody don't go to church. I just first put a question out of my mouth on him. Oh, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. I said, waiting on the Lord for what? Well, I quit. Didn't like something they did at church and all of that stuff, you know, and he went on, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And I looked at him and I said, well, while you're waiting on him, why don't you come to my church? How long is it going to take God to speak to you to go to church? You going to wait on him for 10 years? Come on, somebody. That ain't right. No, it ain't right. I said, come on. While you're waiting on Jesus to tell you where to go to church, just come to mine. He's down there. He's down here. Just come on. Well, God is going to woo and cause them. They're in a dry, parched place that's got out of church, away from the Lord, walking away from the Lord. You can't stay out of the church and stay connected in your heart and strong. I don't care if you got TV preachers. If you don't anoint that word coming out of that TV, you ain't getting nothing. Right? TV preaching, he's carrying it to the lost. He's carrying it to the bedridden, carrying it to the prison, and giving us a dessert after church. Giving us a dessert through the week, man. We can turn on a good preacher and hear a sermon through the week. That's just but church will never change as far as forsake not the assembling. You would have to tear it out of Hebrews. You would have to do away with that word for it to ever change. The culture may change. The ideas people have may change. The way the church is, small, all that stuff. I'm not against any of it. Do what the Lord says. But the assembling of ourselves together is a must. The unified church. The Bible says he's given the fivefold ministry. They're not coming to your living room, sister. They're not coming. The prophet's not coming. The pastor's not coming to your living room. Hallelujah. He's going to the place where God has anointed and appointed. And the pressures of this life, don't let it drive you away from God. Hallelujah. Here it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Look, I wrote something down here I want to say. Yielding to the pressure will produce. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, yielding to the pressures when you yield the wrong way to the pressures, whether it is hailstorm, kid storm, marriage storm, business storm, workplace storm, don't make no difference. He said pressure, if you yield it, will bring frustration, discouragement, incontentment, anger, fear. He said yielding the wrong way brings these. He said it'll bring discontentment. But he said yielding the right way will bring what? Right here. But the proof of the Spirit, or the produce of the Spirit. He's already in us, right? He said that the Spirit is in us. But the fruit, the word fruit right there means proof, the evidence. Like you grow a tomato and the proof is on there. You get a tomato. When the time is right, you pull off of that fruit, that vegetable or whatever. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, the produce of the Spirit is not a tomato, but it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Now these right here, when we're under pressure and we yield the right way, the Holy Spirit will bring something to you most of the time, to your inner man or your mind, for you to yield to, because He's there. He's the one that walks with you and walks beside you. He's your paraclete. And He's going to give you the information if you need it to make the decision you need to make in here or here. But these right here are what you enjoy when you yield, don't yield the wrong way under pressure. God spoke to me and He said, I want you strong under pressure. He's not talking about self-made man. He's talking about His strength. These are the fruits of the Spirit. These are the produce that came on the inside of us. See, I didn't know I had these on Him until later on, after I got saved, you know, because, man, when somebody make me mad, I just, you know, I cuss you still a little bit. Well, I was going to church. Even when I was going to jail, man, I've been there, you know, a month or two, I still cuss, you know. I'm not happy about it, you know, but I hadn't got my inner man stronger than my outer man. I hadn't built that. That's why going to church, I didn't understand the Bible, nothing. I didn't understand that Bible. I'd think, I don't understand this Bible. I'd read it thus, thou, and blah, 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 you know, and all that, you know. But I'd say, well, you don't have to understand it, you know. And then I'd go to church, and then my pastor would preach on something that I'd read that week, and I'd be like, man, that's what that means right there. Praise God, hallelujah. Had a guy tell me one time, he said, yeah, you don't need to be writing in the Holy Bible. I said, are you serious? It's a book, man. I said, when I write in there like that, and then when I turn to it, I remember it then. I'm like, oh, yeah, there it is again. I remember when I found out the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lived in me, Romans 8:16. It says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, I read that, and I thought, what is that? Abides in you, that same Spirit will quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit. I thought, glory to God. I come down here and was having Bible study on Tuesday night, and I brought that down there to the Bible study. And there was a young man there. He's in my family, and praise God. And I brought that scripture out. I said, the same Spirit, if you're saved, right here the Bible said, Paul said, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. And I mean, I looked over there and tears are running down his face. Just running down his face. Afterwards, I said, well, hi, man. He said, glory to God. I realized that power's in me. I said, it sure is. I said, the Bible says it. He said, well, how do we know? I said, the Bible says it. Bible's all the evidence I need. If God's Word says it, well, then, bless God, that's concrete. If He said, you're the head, not the tail, and you'll lend and not borrow, stand on it, bless God, work with your hands, work hard with your hands. God will bless the works of your hands, the Bible says. He'll increase the works of your hands. He'll add His grace and anointing on it, and you will prosper, praise God. So I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know, you know, things going on. If they ain't, baby, hang on. It'll get there sooner or later. Because there's always opportunity to develop. You know, and God, you know, people used to tell me, they'd say, well, God won't put no more on you than you're able to bear. And I went in there and read the scripture, and I told them, I said, that's not what God said. I said, He will not allow. I said, God don't put nothing on you. The world does, and the devil, but he won't allow it to be so much that you can't take it, because greater is he that's in you. I said, but if you believe Satan, God is putting that on you, then you can't have faith for God to help you out of it. If God's putting it on you, there's no way you can believe him to help you out of it. He's putting it on you. See how the devil slips that in there, that religious junk? That's, and you know what, praise God, I've not went around my whole Christian life, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you letting this happen to me? Why? That kind of thinking right there will cause you to yield to pressure, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And we